Over the last few weeks, most of us, like tonight, have just heard people that come forward and bear testimony about how the Lord has met them, showed Himself to them, revealed Himself to them. And I think many of us, just the feeling that I get, think, but Lord, I don't get this whole thing. And Lord, what about me? When are you going to reveal yourself to me? When are you going to share such an amazing word with me? Tonight, I just want to take us to Scripture, just to look at a principle. I believe that every one of us must go home and must go and seek the Lord and say, Lord, reveal yourself to me. Show me, Lord. Lord, so many see you, but I don't see you. Many get the confirmation, Lord, reveal yourself to me. But what I also know from Scripture is that it's not always like that. I just want to go to Scripture and read from John 17. Verse 20, where it says, and this is, where Jesus is praying for his disciples. He's praying to the Father. And he says, Father, I do not pray for these only, but also for those who will believe through them, through their word. I just want to spend a little bit of time on that tonight, that here Jesus said, Father, I thank you for these that you've given me, the disciples. He's referring to the 12, the 70, the people that actually followed him. And he says, Father, I've revealed you to them as well as I could. They understand that I'm the Son of God. But Father, there's many, millions, nations, and generations that will believe through their word. And that's amazing to me. It's like somebody getting up tonight and taking the boldness to share a dream or a vision. And many will believe because of that. Because of that word. Because of that revelation. But it's also like some of us don't like the whole message about grace, the word on that. Some of us still are still chewing on that. I wouldn't ask for a show of hands, but I'm sure there's many of us that just don't get it yet. Tonight, I just want to say to you, it's fine. God will reveal His truth to you. And while that process is going on, the challenge for us is to believe those who come and testify and stand with them and rejoice with them and learn from them. I just went to take a look in the word of at a few examples of people that received kind of earth-breaking revelations or a call of God in their lives. Just looking at a few examples, and the first one is Joseph. Okay, Joseph, God came to him and he showed him kind of the future. Just in a movie at night while he was sleeping, he got a glimpse of the future. Somebody else, like Moses, God revealed himself to Moses in a burning bush and explained the call that he had for his life at that stage. David, through Samuel, was visited by God and chosen to be king. And Jonah was called to God by God. God revealed his heart to Jonah, his heart for a sinful city, the city of Nineveh. When God reveals himself to us, and we can see if you relate, we'll continue with that examples just now, but if you think back to it, it would have helped for those individuals to pray about the word that God gave them. Some of us many times are so excited about the word that we just share it, and then it happens to be like Joseph's brothers. The guys around you aren't that excited about the revelation that God has just given to you. So when the Lord does reveal something to us, it's a good thing to pray about it. Just to share your thoughts around it with fellow believers, with people around you. It's like in the beginning of the year, when Fred started sharing on grace, the Lord has already spoken to him a while ago, and he's been praying about it, waiting for God to confirm it. And then, at the right time, you will start to share it. So it's a good thing about it. And then also, we read a lot of books about certain topics. People that is, God has revealed something to them, and they write about it. Habakkuk 2 with verses 2 says, write down the vision. Make it plain on tablets so that they who read it can run with it. Okay, sometimes we must just take what we understand, take it to God, take it to the small group, discuss it, ask the guys, listen, this is what I understand, pray for me. What am I to do with this? And then as we do that, we grow in just our understanding about what God shares with us. If we go back to Joseph, God visited him and showed him that piece of the future. But God's idea with that was actually the salvation of the 12 tribes of Israel. His 12 brothers represented the 12 tribes of Israel. And God had in his mind to save the whole family. If we go to Moses again, God met with him, revealed himself to him. But God had a bigger picture. And we're always part of a bigger thing that God is doing. God is building his church. It is his kingdom. We said that in the beginning. He rules. So he actually knows. He's got a plan. And he operates it. So God, in Moses' case, we're planning the salvation of a nation. And it started off with Moses meeting him at the burning bush. With David, he was the youngest, but he was called to destroy the enemy and then to unite the tribes of Israel and to bring peace. So when Pastor Lucille shares a word, it's not just because it kind of sits good or great, or it's for us. God is behind this and he's orchestrating and he's taking it somewhere. And we must believe like Jesus says, God, I know many people will believe because of the word that they will bring. If we look at Jonah, God's bigger picture was the salvation of a whole city, a huge city. God had their salvation in mind. So the revelation or the word that God gives you isn't an end in itself. Never. And it's also not about you. Also not. God has got a big picture and these things fit into each other. And we are going where God is leading us like a flock. Like Psalm 23 says, we're going there together. And it's fine if you're in the flock, but you're at the back at this stage, on the side or in the middle. Not everyone, if you look at a flock just in the natural, there's only a few guys in front. leading. And the shepherd is walking in front. And most of them are like huddled in the middle, secure, fine. They can't see where they're going, or they're just going along. And that's just what I felt God is just on his heart, just to tell us, listen, just sit tight. It's fine. Just trust in me. We're going somewhere. So when God starts to share about something like grace, all we need to do, we don't need to, the first sermon we get, we don't have to like get it all. We must just take all that the Lord is doing is breaking the bread, handing it to us. And we must just take it and eat. If we don't understand it, we go back to our small group and we say, guys, I'm not getting this thing. Please pray for me. Then, like you've heard over the past few weeks, somebody will get up and share how he met God on the mountain or on the beach or wherever. Amazing. But that's normally a few of us, not all of us. It's fine. We must remember that God has got a huge heart. He's a family man. He's a father. And like we said this evening and sang, that God has got nations and generations in mind. And he starts off with us as individuals, in your family. Maybe you're the first one to get saved. You're the Joseph. And the other guys don't take your revelation quite that eagerly. I don't think it's such good news. But God started with you because he's got a bigger plan. He's got nations and generations. He's got family on his heart. Ephesians 3:14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. God's heart is for families. His heart is for nations, for generations. Okay? So if God shares about grace with us, for instance, or when he wants to unite the nation, when he wants to get rid of all the bitterness and strife, he's got a big dream and a lot of people in mind. And we're just part of what God is doing. He's on his way somewhere. So what we do through the holidays, for instance, if you're a student you go home, we say, Lord, how do you want to apply this to my family, to this situation? If you go back to work this week, to your colleagues, Lord, how does this apply here? We take what God has given to us and we apply it, because like Jesus prayed, he said, many will be saved. Many, I don't pray for them only, but for those who will believe because of their word. So here we receive the word. But God's heart is huge. And he wants us to go and share that. Take that. So if you have a testimony, praise God, you have to share it. You have to come and excite us, encourage us. You have to come and reveal to us an aspect of God's heart that we haven't seen specifically like that. So if God does speak to you, share it in your small group. Share it with your friends. Share it. Many will believe because of that. And then for us, let's rejoice with that person. God, it's never happened to me, but praise you. Thank you for what you're doing in Leon's life. Thank you for that amazing revelation, Lord. Let's receive from one another. Learn from one another as we share and pray and talk about these things. Let's allow the Lord to take this Let it permeate. Let it fill every part of our being. Let's take it to the world. I think in a time like this, many of us might have one of the following feelings. Just making it a little bit practical. Okay. You might ask in your heart, but Lord, what's so special about him or her or them? Why are you revealing yourself to them and not me? I don't know if there's anyone like that, but I think that's just, if we're honest, we do get to that stage in our lives when we do ask those questions. If we look at the word, it's full of examples. If we go back to Joseph's brothers, exactly like that. But what's so amazing about him? Why does he get the revelation in the dreams? But if they understood God's heart, they would have known that he actually had them in mind. He used Joseph, but he had them in mind. He organized them, orchestrated everything so that they could be saved with their families. If we look at the example of Jonah, again, to get back to him, he was asking exactly that. God, that city is sinful. Why them? What's so special about them? He didn't know that it was God's heart to save the 120,000 children, babies. The Bible says they couldn't discern between their left and their right, between the ages of just newborns and 2 year old. God has got a big heart. He had a passion for that city. He used Jonah, but he had a bigger thing that he was working towards. And from Jonah's point of view, he said, Lord, but they're a sinful bunch. Why are they so special to you? Why that church, God? Why those people? Aren't you fed up of them after all these years? Why your grace to them, God? Questions we ask. Or some of us might actually ask the question, or not ask the question, but think, oh, but I'm special. Like Joseph. The word, the revelation that came exposed something in his heart. I'm so special. The Lord is going to use me. He's revealing things to me. God had Israel, the nation of Israel, at his heart when he revealed the future to Joseph. He would use Joseph, amazing grace in Joseph's life, but it was about the nation of Israel. And then maybe something else that might come into our mind is look at him, look at her, look at them. That they still don't get it. And I think it's easy for us to come to that place. They're not spiritual enough. They're still too caught up in religion. They just don't get it. Just want to ask a question tonight. If I if I would say to you, Thomas, one of the disciples, what would you think? What comes to mind first? Unbelief. Doubt. Do you think he was a little bit different than the other disciples when it comes to that? Honest. Yes? Okay, I just want to go to Scripture just to show us something interesting here. Mark 16 from verse 10. Now, this is just after Jesus actually been resurrected, and he has appeared to Mary and one or two of the other women. And it says, she went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. In some of the other Gospels, he actually went up to the disciples when Thomas was not there, and he showed them his hands, these wounds, and then they believed. And then Thomas got into the room, and he said, "But Lord, can I see?" And many times, I don't know, it came to me like that. We're so religious. We're so caught up in a mindset. One of my friends named their son Thomas, and I thought, what a funny name to give your child. Unbelief, I mean, that's exactly what you don't want. But Thomas wasn't different to any or the other. They all doubted. We all like that. We don't get it, and then God does something, and especially in our lives, and we get a little bit, and we think we've got it all. Oh, some of us agree. Yeah. God shares little things with us, sometimes big, important things, but it's for the benefit of all. He's got a huge heart, inclusive of every person, every tribe, every tongue, every generation. And if he does something special amongst us, it's only for so that we can go out and be a blessing, so that others can receive, others can see. Okay, so from next week on, we want at least, it's like in the New Testament church, they say, okay, three prophecies, that's fine, or four for now. Nick, you can come back next week. That's enough testimonies for one evening. I do not pray for them only, but for those who will believe through their word. Amazing privilege that God affords us to be part of what he is doing. His kingdom is increasing. His kingdom will come. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. And God includes us. Amazing privilege that we have. In Matthew 28, verses 9 and 10, it reads, "And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, 'Rejoice.' So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren, and go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" Now we must just get back to it. The disciples are distraught. They went back to fishing. They've got no hope. Jesus died. Their king, their leader, their hope, their provision, their security died. And they're gone. And now the ladies go back to actually look after the body. But Jesus told them, by this time I would have actually not be there anymore. But they had unbelief. They didn't believe that. They didn't even have hope. They got there. They worried on the way there. They worried about who was going to roll the stone away because it was heavy. They got there. The stone was gone. And Jesus was gone. They met Jesus. And now the challenging thing. Now these ladies know, they know the rest of the disciples. They know that they're fishing already. They know that they've absconded, they're gone. And now, the challenge. You go and tell those guys that I've risen, and tell them that I'm going before, they must meet me in Galilee. Exactly. We're exactly in that place. Jesus is on his way somewhere. He has got a destination for us. And we left to two souls to come and show us the way. By their word, by their testimony, We must actually get to Galilee. Amazing examples. Two scriptures further and said, and the disciples left for Galilee. And when they got there, they didn't believe it was Jesus, but exactly, at least they went there. And I just want to say, many times it'll be like that for us. Jesus, the good shepherd, is heading somewhere with us. Sometimes you'll be the first to know, maybe the last. Many times you won't hear anything. We'll just hear testimonies. And on that testimony, we need to follow him. We need to get to the destination just by the word of our brethren, our brothers and our sisters. We must trust, Lord, they can hear from you. We're willing to put our reputation online here because they've got a track record. They've been serving you. They've been listening to your voice. There's life and testimony because of that, and we're willing to go. Maybe you're here tonight and God wants to use you like that. He will reveal himself to you. Maybe it's already like that. Like I said earlier, you're the first in your family that's actually received Jesus. And now the rest must follow. And it doesn't quite make sense to you, and you would have organized it a little bit different. But God has got a plan, and he's going somewhere. If you don't understand the whole grace thing totally, it's fine. The grace message isn't an end in itself either. God is on his way somewhere, and it's only part of what we need to know to get there. It's one of the puzzles. So relax. Be part of the flock. Stay close to your brothers and sisters. Ask them for prayer. Listen to their stories and their testimonies, and we'll get there. So if you receive a word, pray about it. Share it. If God does come to you with a challenge, go to your small group, like I said. God might challenge us as a church or as a country, you as a family, to go somewhere. Pray about it. Share it. Ask people for prayer. You must be open for what God wants to do in our lives. We need to pray and talk about it. I want us tonight to pray together. I want us to pray, if the worship band can come up. I want us to pray for those amongst us that you don't quite get it at the moment, especially the whole thing about grace. And your challenge, like I shared tonight, is just to believe those, listen to the testimonies, listen to what God is doing. If you are here tonight and you are the first one in your family that God has actually reached and you are being persecuted, you are part of a group or a group of friends, and you are staying true to what God has revealed to you, and his call on your life. You need encouragement. We want to pray. I want to pray with you tonight. Be an encouragement to you. If you feel out tonight, just out of it, you're always the last one to hear. We want to pray for you tonight, for that the Lord will open your ears, that he will visit you in a special way. He wants to include all of us. And then there's some of us like these good disciples. And it's not a condemnation, but we struggle with unbelief. Because the things that God demands from us or wants from us is just a little bit unfamiliar and weird. And it doesn't sit nice. We need to pray for you. What we're going to do is, I'm just going to read a piece of scripture over you as a blessing. And then I'm just going to ask people who need prayer tonight to come to the front. We're going to pray with you. And then we can just worship together before we end. I just want to read from Ephesians 3 from verse 14 again. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. If you need prayer tonight, like I said, if you feel alone, if you feel that you are carrying that load on your own, we need to pray for you. If you feel like Joseph, oh God, this blessing, this vision, this plan that you have for me, why doesn't it feel great now? Why is there no agreement with it? Why do I rub people up the wrong way all the time? Let's just pray with you tonight. If you feel, Lord, I'm on the outskirts, I see and hear other people hear you, I don't seem to get it. We want to pray for you tonight. We're going to believe that the Lord will visit you and he will reveal himself to you. I just want to pray before, and Lord, we come to you this evening, Lord, and we thank you, God, that you're a good shepherd, God. Lord, and you know the pastures that you're leading us to, God. You know the valleys, Lord. You've been through them all. God, you went before us to prepare the way, even through those valleys, God. You made sure that the pastures would be just perfect, that the waters would be faithful, would be there. We thank you that we can just come tonight, Lord, and proclaim, God, that, Lord, we want to follow you, God. We want to go where you are leading us, God. We thank you, God, for what you are doing amongst us, Lord. For your word that is alive. For your word that is shared, Lord. For your word that brings life to us so that others can actually believe, Lord. God, and I pray for your people tonight here, God, that your word would be alive, Lord, in their mouths, Lord, in their lives, Lord. That the many out there, Lord, the colleagues and the family members, God, the fellow students, Lord, will come to know you because of them. In the name of Jesus. God, thank you for the knowledge that you've got no favorites, God. And it's not about us, God. It's not about the word. It's about you, Lord. And the extent of your kingdom, Lord. For the honor of your name, Lord. God, we just come and bring ourselves tonight, Lord. We thank you, God, that you do include us, God. We worship you for that, Lord. Thank you, God, that your plans, Lord, towards us are good, Lord, to give us a hope and a future, Lord. You are leading us, God, to a good place, Lord. We worship you for that, Lord. God, and for those amongst us, God, that feel, Lord, that like they are out there, Lord. Just like on the side of the herd, of the flock, Lord. God, I pray that you reveal yourself, Lord. That you visit them, Lord. In Jesus' name, God. We worship you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. Amen.
I just feel like I want to just share an encouragement to some of us. You know, like Paul was saying, often we have this idea that some people sort of have more revelation of God than others. And, you know, they come forward, like he said, and they share, God showed me this and God showed me that, and I saw this and I saw the next thing. Or you go to intercession, and this one sees this vision and that one has this dream and the other one has a word, and you think, these things never happened to me. A young man was speaking to me the other day, and he said to me, with absolute surety, he said to me, you know, I must be in this church the person who the least experience God's revelation to me in a supernatural way. In like, I never see visions. I never have a particular dream that I think is of God. I never get a word in a kind of a way that I, you know, like the scripture jumps out of me or anything like that. And I listen to him now. I know this young man very well. And this young man is full of wisdom. And just a week before, he was sitting at the table with another chap. And they were chatting, and we had these deep philosophical sort of debate about all kinds of stuff. And this young man that feels that he never hears really anything, you know, nothing miraculous kind of, you know, revelation from God ever happens to me. I'm thinking there, but just a week before, and I said to him, but young man, just the other day you were sitting at the table where I was sitting, and you were telling the other guy, you were telling him about this whole grace thing, how the church is like a boat. And how the church has been a very good boat and a very sturdy boat, but it's a bit old. And you told him that it, you know, it was full of creaks and it really needed an overhaul. And so what you think this grace message is doing, it's just God is giving this boat an overhaul. He's decided that all these creeks must get fixed and the boat must get painted again and made pretty so that other people will want to get onto the boat and enjoy the boat. So I said, now what was that? I said, you saw a vision of a boat. You know, some of us have got these high, deep expectations of some miraculous thing, you know, like Peter with a, you know, with all these animals going, you know, God suddenly appeared to me or whatever, you know, in this vision or this supernatural thing. And I must be very honest with you. I said to him, boy, nothing like that ever happens to me either. Because I promise you, that's the only way that the Lord reveals himself to me too. It's just very simple. And so, you know, sometimes we have this weird expectations when the Lord is talking to you all the time, just giving you wisdom through little things. Sometimes you just read the word, nothing jumps out at you, but you know that word builds you up all the time. It's like food. I've shared before, you know, sometimes like when you eat an apple, you don't think where this apple is going. Now it's breaking down into enzymes and now it's going here and now it's going there and now it's going. You know, you don't think about it. You just eat the flippin' apple. And you stay healthy because of it, you know. And so when we read the word, even if nothing jumps out at us, everything stays right on the page. God's wisdom grows inside of you all the time. All the time. So I just want to encourage some of you, really feel out of it, you know, and you feel, okay, well, those guys always grab the mic. They're at the front of this load of sheep. Not necessarily. Not necessarily at all. As I said, according to that definition, I must be stuck right there in the middle with the rest of the sheep that just go by the wisdom that the Lord gives us. But let's respond to what Paul was saying. And those of us who need prayer this evening, just come forward. Let us pray for you. And you know, when you go through a spiritual crisis, the most important thing, when I talk about a spiritual crisis, I talk about, you know, we have an idea of God, and now suddenly something happens that makes our assumption about God, and the whole way we've been looking at God up to a point, something happens, like say for example, we believe that nothing bad can happen to us. Or, yeah, nothing bad can happen to us. Now your cat dies. Somebody actually took a huge offense, and it's not even a joke, when their cat died, and they thought that it was not right because they had an idea of God that nothing bad will happen to them, and he loves his cat. And how can his cat die? Now, I know that's a stupid example. But sometimes we have an idea about God. We've grown in God, and we come to this place where we've got him pretty figured out, and we've got the Christian life figured out in a way. You know, and this is how God works, and this is how he responds to this, and et cetera, et cetera. And now comes either a message from somebody else that sort of cuts through this experience, like Paul was saying, like this message of understanding God's grace, for example. And now we're in a crisis because now what I believe, the whole way that I've worked it all out and come to this conclusion about my relationship with God and how things work, gets now completely challenged, and I'm completely thrown. And I don't know what is then God and what is not God. What are the revelations that I received before? Was it God or wasn't it God? Was it maybe, like I was sharing a while back, was it maybe the spirit of bondage that was speaking to me? Was it God? You know, and now you're in this sort of place of turmoil. And God brought you here because he actually wants to show you, like Paul was saying, the bigger picture on the other side. He wants to show you something bigger about himself. Now, we always, always, always are on a journey of experiencing God's bigness and bigness and bigness. Okay. So, for all of us at some or other stage, you'll come to a place of what I call a spiritual crisis, where your old ideas are challenged. And when you're in that place, I want to reiterate what Paul was saying, stay in the fellowship of the saints. Stay with the sheep. Stay with the council of many. Okay. And in that place, just sit tight. Sit tight. God is going to show you something bigger about himself. But sometimes the old ideas, some of our old ideas, need to get thrown away because they sort of not the full picture. And so sometimes some of that stuff we've got to actually chuck and realize, oh my goodness, I've been thinking wrongly about God. But I can always tell you that when God reveals himself to us, he reveals himself from glory to glory. From one level of glory to a greater level of glory. When he takes us through this thing, on the other side will be a greater measure of faith. From faith to faith. On the other side of this, he will reveal to us and make us stronger. He'll take us from strength to strength. From glory to glory. From faith to faith. From strength to a greater place of strength. So never, we must never think that we've got God all figured out. When we are there, if we think we stand, let's be careful. Never get proud in what we know, what we think we know about God. Because he will at some stage challenge even that and take it a little bit further. So let's just stand. And as the pianist just plays beautifully, those of us who just feel like, oh, maybe some of you have been feeling really so out, just come forward. Come forward. Everybody who wants to respond to this word that Paul was sharing, just come forward and let us all pray for you. Let us pray for you that you will just come to a place of peace. come to a place of rest. And know that God is all the time with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You're not worse than anybody else. He loves you the same as He loves Jesus. He wants to share the same with you as He shared with Jesus. Everybody, anybody else wants to come forward. If we can have some facilitators also, we'll pray with you. Cornell just wants to, before we pray, just wants to share his testimony as well.
So. Okay, hi friends. Like, you know, at the end of last year, I went through quite a hectic time of confusion in my life. I felt very condemned, very guilty some nights. It was over a holiday. I wasn't close to friends or anything, but there were times when I thought I was going crazy because all this stuff was going on in my head, like all these voices were turning around, and I didn't know which one was God's, which one wasn't. And I just thought, like, I felt so far. I didn't know if I still knew God, in a sense. I felt so far away, and I didn't want to say it. I was so scared that I'm going to miss it. Like, every single thing I did, I was afraid that, whoa, did I make a mistake now that I can't fix, kind of thing. And as I entered this year, like, the more I started learning about God's grace, slowly I started getting my peace back. And this past time, eventually I built up the courage to just ask God, like, God, show me how much you love me. And He did. And like, this past time, He's been telling me how much He loves me. You know, just small things that nobody could ever know, that just He could affirm me on, that just brings me to tears every time. And even in the time when I was so confused, I was so anxious, you know, sometimes I'd get so anxious, I just want to like run out of the room I was in or do something. I just permanently felt I was missing it. And He showed me that even in that time, there were small things that He was saying to me the whole time, like songs and words and stuff, that He was just there all the time. And that He never let me go. And, you know, it's just, I gain such an appreciation for being real in front of God. Because sometimes people are like, oh, hallelujah, amen and stuff. And you're just like, what? You know, you're just like, I really don't get this. And I was so afraid to say it. But nowadays, it's kind of like God already knows what's going on in your head and your mind. Why are you hiding it? Why was I hiding it from Him? Why was I hiding the fact that I'm scared to death that my dad is going to strike me with lightning if I say something? And yeah, just a word of encouragement. Like, I know at that time it felt my food taste like ash, and people were telling me, get into scripture, and I'm reading scripture, and it feels like, oh man, this isn't helping at all. And you know, people praying for me, I'm just like, oh, I'm going to go back and it's going to happen again. And those are the stuff that's going through my mind. But just persevere, because even if you can't see it at all, God is there. And it just comes down to believing that He actually is good, and He is who He says He is. And yeah, I don't get it fully right now, but I'm getting there. And I know God's taking all of us there, and that's His heart for all of us. So I really wanted to share that.
Oh, I suggest that you guys who are standing in the front, that you just say to God, before you get prayed for, just say to God and just ask the Lord to help you to be honest with Him. And know that nothing weird is going to happen. That's all that He wants, is just our honesty. Say to Him, God, I'm confused, or these voices, or whatever, like this young man said. It's just, before somebody prays with us, let's just say this thing with one of the facilitators. Just say to God. Just tell Him where you're at now. Just be honest. Telling you that's all that is required. That is the bottom line. Somebody asked the other day, what is the bottom line then? If God did everything for us, there must be a bottom line. I said, that's the bottom line. Just be honest with God. It's all that is required. That's absolutely all that is required. It's all of us standing there in the back. Let's all pray for the people here in the front. Let's just intercede for them. Also, while they're praying, I just want to invite you all to Thursday intercession. In the Nielsi Cinema, we'd like as many people as possible to intercede with us, pray for the country. Going to be praying for the country Thursday at 6:30 in the Nielsi Cinema.